Hey, it's your friend SJ, and welcome to the Wellness and Wellies podcast. Hey friend, now as mums, one of our key things that we want to do for ourselves and also for our family is to make sure that we are eating the best possible food that we can to fuel our bodies, to make sure that our children are growing up fit and healthy. But it can be really confusing, can't it? You can stand in the aisles and you can read the labels, you can read the packaging, but it's really, really hard often to understand and actually decipher what the food label is and whether or not what you're buying is actually a good, healthy choice for yourself and your family. Well, today I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to help you to decipher food labels. I'm going to take you through some key steps that you can take to help you better understand food labels and just to make things a little bit more clearer. And I'm not going to suggest that you spend hours and hours in the aisles of the store, like reading every single food label, but this is just as a guide to help you to make better choices for yourself and for your children. Now, we're talking about deciphering food labels and identifying ultra processed foods. Now, if you're not sure what ultra processed foods are and you haven't checked out my previous episodes about some of the downsides of ultra processed food and how they've been linked to weight gain, I've linked a couple of episodes in the show notes. There's one where I have spoken about a book which has totally transformed my life when it comes to food and the food that we eat at home in our house. And there is another episode as well about ultra processed food, what it is and how it is linked to weight gain that you might want to go and check out. But ultimately, in short, when we're talking about ultra processed foods, we're talking about foods that are products that have gone under a huge amount of processing. They often contain lots of additives, preservatives, and they often have like little or no sort of whole ingredients. So really, typically we're talking about foods that are high in sugar, high in unhealthy fats, lots of salt in them, and they're really the sorts of foods that lack essential nutrients like vitamins and minerals. And really what we're trying to do today is to like decode some of these food labels and some of the food packaging that you're going to come across, because don't forget, it's really hard to walk through the stores and to understand exactly what the food is, what the ingredients are, and the marketing that goes behind the creation of some of these foods is just amazing. Now, just take a step back for a minute and just think about when you go around your usual grocery store, like what does that look like? What do you see? You know, if you go to the same place on a regular basis like I do, you pretty much know where things are and you know where the things are that you buy on a regular basis, which is really helpful. And think about where you are in the store. Think about what the aisles look like. Are there some aisles that you always go down? Are there some aisles that you always avoid? I know for many of you who listen to me in the US, I know that your grocery stores are massive, like way bigger than the kind of supermarkets we have here in the UK. And I know that there is different sets of laws around ingredients and additives depending on the country that you're in. I do know for those of you listening from the other side of the pond that our food additives and the restrictions on the ingredients that go into the food are tougher here in the UK and in the EU than they are in the USA and Canada. So I've actually linked some information from the UK Food Standards Agency that you might want to have a look at, because obviously they're a bit tighter and a bit stricter on the ingredients that they do and don't allow in food here. So that might be something that if you're in the USA or Canada that you might want to take a look at to kind of give you more of a basis and more of a grounding of, you know, what is and should and shouldn't be in the foods that you're buying. Now, of course, I really want to kind of make a nod to the cost of food, the cost of living, but I will sit and argue that healthy eating does not have to be expensive. that eating good quality food is a right for everybody, and that the foods that we're seeing that are advertised and marketed to us, and these ultra processed foods, whilst they may appear cheap from the outset, from the packaging, if you were to look at them from a nutrition perspective, and then thinking about how those sorts of health impacts might have on your health in the future, like the cost benefit kind of scales really does change if you start looking at food from a health perspective and food from a longevity perspective, and how it's going to impact your health and well-being as you age and as your children age, and the links to like potential diseases and things like that in terms of health and healthcare, for example. So yes, okay, you might argue that food is expensive if you're buying whole food, organic food, for example. Yeah, that's going to be more expensive when you load it into your supermarket cart at the checkout. But actually, is that benefit, that cost that you're incurring as you're buying that food, is that going to be outweighed by the costs, the benefits of having, you know, good health, being perhaps reducing like illnesses? You know, we could really go down a rabbit hole in terms of the impact of food and the impact of additives on your physical and your mental health. And this isn't the time to do that. But just kind of think about it with a different lens. Think about food in terms of the fuel that it's giving your body, and how it sets you and your family up for success in the future. And that's why understanding what food labels will tell you is really, really important. So let's kind of dig into the food labels and figuring out what are the naughties that might be lurking in your shopping cart, and really like understanding what you're reading when it comes to a food label so that it can help you make a better choice. Okay, so let's start off with number one, which is to focus on the ingredient list. Now, this is your first line of defense when it comes to ultra processed foods. You want to look for ingredients that have short, recognizable ingredient lists. So if you think about it, like if you go into a store and you buy an orange, it doesn't have an ingredients list. If you go and buy a piece of steak, it doesn't have an ingredients list. Well, it shouldn't have an ingredients list. And I will actually side note this to actually say, when you are walking down like the aisles for like the fresh produce, for example, for like chicken and that kind of things, is if you are buying sort of like pre-cooked meats, meat that has already been cooked, is probably going to have additional ingredients to it. So what you want to be doing is looking for a product that actually doesn't have an ingredient list and is just chicken, just beef, just fish, and nothing else. And you need to be looking for products that have like fewer ingredients, and you want to make sure that the list contains words, and I'm going to talk about this a bit more in number two, that you understand. And remember, when it comes to the ingredients list, the ingredients are listed in descending order by weight. So what you want to do is to prioritize products where whole foods are at the top. So if you're buying a product that has a list of ingredients, you want to make sure that those ingredients are whole foods and those are the main ingredients in the product that you are buying. And this can also, side note to this, like as somebody who has dogs, this can actually also apply to things that you're buying for your pets as well. The type of pet food that you're buying is trying to make sure that the ingredients list for your pet food are ingredients that you recognize and that are the good quality ingredients, are the highest and they are the first on the list of your ingredients. Okay, let's talk about unpronounceable ingredients. Now, if you see a word on an ingredients list on a product that you don't recognize, that food is definitely ultra processed. And it's going to be something that you don't have in your kitchen or in your pantry. And ultimately, I think this is quite a good sort of rule, a basic rule, if you like. In our house, we only buy items that we can pronounce the ingredients of on the ingredients list. So if you can't pronounce it, it's probably going to be an ingredient that you don't want to be consuming on a regular basis. And you might want to have a look at the list for on the ingredient list for chemical sounding additives, colorings, preservatives. Common offenders include things like monosodium glutamate, MSG, high fructose corn syrup. I mean, that can be in everything and everything. Artificial sweeteners, hydrogenated oils. You want to opt for products with ingredients that you recognize and you can pronounce them easily. Now, when it comes to ingredients and additives and things like that, I think it's quite important to educate yourself on food additives. And I'm going to talk about that in a few moments. And there are some links to some of the resources from the Food Standards Agency around food additives that I've linked in the show notes as well. Okay, number three is one of my favorites, is to watch out for sneaky sugars and fats. Now, ultra processed foods are absolutely notorious for hiding sugars and unhealthy fats under different names. So you need to keep an eye out for various forms of sugar, and that might appear on a food label as sucrose, fructose, dextrose, and maltose. And you can be also be looking out for things that that are like trans fats as well. So they can be listed as partially hydrogenated oils. And you want to be choosing products with minimal added sugars and opt for healthier fat sources like olive oil, avocado, nuts, and also things that are, I'm a real believer in dairy-based products. So milk, cream, cheese, like those kind of products that have are milk based as a fat. And I myself would much rather, and I buy butter rather than some kind of like spread, because it is not ultra processed. Like butter, good quality butter to go on like your bread, your toast, or whatever it is that you're having, that is like much better for you. And yes, it's a fat, but when you read the ingredients of butter, it's not complicated. You're not going to find those words that you don't understand. So watch out for those sneaky sugars and watch out for those sneaky fats. And just to come back to the sugar one, like if you're somebody who likes to buy sauces in a jar to add to like ground beef, minced beef, maybe you are making like tacos, or maybe you're making a curry or some kind of like lasagna or something, and you're using a sauce that has a jar, or like sweet and sour, go and read those food labels, because the amount of sugar that is in those products is just like, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy how much sugar is in those sorts of products. And those are the kind of things that are definitely ultra processed. They have really, really low nutrition. And if you were just to switch that out for like a can of like chopped tomatoes and a bit of seasoning, that's going to save you a whole load of calories. And if weight loss is your goal, that is definitely going to be important. But it's also going to reduce the amount of ingredients and ultra processed ingredients that you're putting into your body. So have a read of that. Watch out for those sneaky sugars and those unhealthy fats, because those are not going to be helping you if you are on a weight loss journey. Now, as well as an ingredients list on the products here in the UK, and hopefully where you live as well, you are going to find a list of nutrition facts. So the ingredient list is helpful, but the nutrition facts can be quite important. And when you're looking at the nutrition facts, and when by nutrition, I'm talking about the label that will tell you how many calories, how many carbohydrates, how many fats are in this product, take a moment to look at the serving size. Now, one of the biggest pitfalls that we can have when it comes to like nutrition and ultra processed foods is cereal. Now, think about the type of breakfast cereal that you might have. So it could be like some kind of muesli or Weetabix or something like that. Now, if you look at the packet, one serving size is probably going to be about 30 grams. And if you get your scales out and you weigh how much 30 grams actually is, it's tiny. You probably eat, if you're eating like a cereal, a breakfast cereal in the morning, you are probably eating like 3 times that amount. Now, here in the UK, we have this kind of like traffic light system on some of our foods where you get sort of like a green, orange and red on the label, depending on, you know, like how healthy it is, how much like sugar, fats and salts and things are. And you could look at a product and it could be green for, you know, like carbohydrates and fats and that sort of thing, but the serving size could be really, really small. So if you are having like a much bigger serving and portion size than what the nutrition label is telling you, then it's really likely that you're going to be eating more calories and maybe choosing a product that you think is healthier, but it actually isn't because you're having the serving size like so much bigger. So one of the things I really recommend when it comes to food labels, like if you're buying something that you know is going to be something that you eat on a regular basis, maybe it's cereal, like really actually weigh out what a serving looks like. Put it in a bowl, put it in the bowl that you have maybe your cereal in on a regular basis, and just kind of gauge it, eyeball it, so you can really see like how much a serving is, and just take a moment to work out like how much you might normally eat of that food compared to what the serving is. And you probably might be quite surprised at the difference in the nutritional value. And you've got to remember that ultra processed foods often pack like a really high calorie punch with little nutritional value. So if you're eating something that is high in calories but has, you know, very few like vitamins and minerals, you're not really doing yourself a favor. And the chances are as well that you're potentially eating more of this product than you realize because you're not actually paying attention to the serving size. And I think ultra processed foods like crisps, sweets, chocolates, these kind of things, they can be really deceptive with this. And I think, for example, those like healthy crisps that often get like labeled as being like a healthier version, those are prime culprits because it's so easy to eat more of it. So what you want to be doing is aiming for products that are lower in calories, lower in sugar and sodium, and looking for high fiber, high protein, you know, good levels of vitamins and minerals. And ultimately, those foods really aren't going to have an ingredients list and a nutrition list on the side of the box. Okay, number 5, and this links in quite nicely, is looking for whole food alternatives. Now, if you could go through the whole of your shopping and just buy whole foods, then this isn't going to be a problem for you. And probably you're going to lose weight quicker, you're going to feel more full. And when I'm talking about whole foods, I'm talking about fresh fruit, fresh vegetable, like lean proteins, and minimally processed foods. That, and all of these things should be the things that form the cornerstone of your diet, like the main part of your diet. Like ultra processed foods and foods with long ingredient lists should not be like the food that you eat on a daily basis. You know, you might buy an ice cream once in a while, you might buy a cake, you know, that's okay. But this shouldn't be the kind of food that you have in your cupboards and is a constant staple. So you want to be looking, like, for example, if you're, bread is a prime example of this. And again, I know there are huge differences between like the bread that we have in the UK and the bread that you might buy in the US. Having been to the US quite a few times myself, I can really taste the difference in the food. One of my colleagues she's actually working with us, and she's been in the UK for about 6 months now, and she's like, oh my gosh, the food doesn't taste the same, it's not so sweet, and it's been a real transition for her. So, you know, things like bread are a prime example. If you're buying some bread, look at the ingredients. Like, where is the sugar on the ingredients? You know, could you make your own? Like, that would be so much better. Or is there, you know, maybe like a local producer or a local farm store or a local baker who makes bread? And yes, it's going to be more expensive. But one of the things I can tell you, for example, when it comes to bread, like here in the UK, like we can get through bread like so fast. But the bread is like soft and squidgy. It's full of sugar. It's got no nutrition to it. And you can just literally like eat it without even thinking about it. Now, you could make your own loaf of bread with a bread maker, and that bread is going to be like much denser. It's going to take you longer to eat, which is one of the things that Chloe always moans about. Or if I go to like the local farm shop and I buy a loaf of sourdough, then that bread lasts me, yes, it costs more money, but it lasts so much longer because I don't need to eat as much of it. Because it's not soft and squidgy and easily digestible, because that's what these ultra processed foods are designed to be. They're designed so that you eat them and you want more of them, and they're really high in calories. So definitely be thinking like, you know, like fresh fruit over fruit flavored snacks, homemade meals over prepackaged meals, whenever possible. One of the things I will say to this is part of my weight loss framework is really digging into like the planning that goes on behind the scenes for this like removal of ultra processed foods. You know, I will spend a lot of time with you looking at, you know, what your health and fitness goals are, but also figuring out where you're going to find the time to do the shopping, to do the planning. And I'll share with you like a lot of the recipes and things that I use at home that enable us to be able to eat, you know, like good quality food that isn't ultra processed. Because this has been a journey that we have been on ever since I came across that book, Ultra Processed People, which I talk about in my podcast episode. And it's something that we've incorporated into our day-to-day life. If you were to open the cupboards in my kitchen, in my pantry, you would find like whole ingredients, and you will find products that are not ultra processed. And that is something that has taken us time to get to this point, but it's something that I really feel has made a difference in our health as a family. And I think it's made a huge impact on my journey through perimenopause and through like my health and weight loss through perimenopause. And it's something that I can talk through and I can work on with you as part of the weight loss framework. And in the online course, you also get access to like my meal planning tools. You've got access to the She Rises planner. You've got access to the health and fitness planner, where you can do all of this meal planning and you can record it and you can figure out where you're going to find the time to put the work in to do the meal planning as well. So loads of resources in that framework. If you're sat there thinking, oh gosh, I don't have time for, you know, healthy eating, I don't have time for cooking, I haven't got time to go to the store and all of that sort of thing, we can work through that. And the weight loss framework really does dig into that, because I know that that is the biggest hurdle so many of you face when it comes to weight loss, when it comes to healthy eating. And in those one-to-one coaching sessions, we can use that time to figure out how that is going to work into your family's routine. So the weight loss framework program is linked in the show notes. It is on offer through April. It is incredibly great value for money. You get the online course, you get 3 sessions of one-to-one coaching with me, you get access to me via Voxer, and you also get my downloadable planners, the She Rises planner, which is your day-to-day planner, and you also get the downloadable version of my health and fitness planner, Rest, Fuel, Move. So all of the resources, all of the support, super affordable through April. go and grab your spot now, because that price is going to be going up at the end of this month. Okay, back to number six, which is a really, really important topic. And I think it's important to educate yourself on food additives. So you need to familiarize yourself with common food additives and the potential health implications. Because while not all food additives are harmful, particularly like maybe one on their own, some may have adverse effects on your health, and particularly if you're consuming these things on a long-term basis. And some of them individually might not have an impact on your health, but actually if they're combined with something else together in a food, potentially can have an impact on your health. So there are lots of websites and apps where you can find out like information about food additives. I have linked to the Food Standards Agency, which is a UK organization, and they have quite a good like PDF that you can download. There's a little video on their website, and it just talks about like some of the basic food additives that are included in your food. And it's important to remember that these food additives, they're ingredients that are added to food and they carry out like a particular function. And many manufacturers do add them to the food that they're producing, and you'll see them on the list of ingredients. And these are, they will sort of tell you sometimes what they do, and then they might be followed by its name or an E number on the labels in the UK. So food additives might be things like antioxidants, and these can stop food from becoming like rancid or changing colour by reducing the chance of fats combining with oxygen. Sometimes these are quite often used like in meat, if you're buying like packaged meat, for example. You might find colors, you might find emulsifiers, stabilizers, gelling agents and thickeners. These help to help mix and thicken ingredients. These are really common in things like ice cream, for example. Preservatives, which are used to keep food safer for longer. So if you have got like a loaf of bread, for example, that is going to be able to last like 2 weeks, that's going to have preservatives in it, because a basic loaf of bread that is made of like flour and water is not going to last that kind of amount of time. And then sweeteners as well. So these can include things like sweeteners like stevia and aspartame, which are many times more sweeter than sugar, and those can be an additive. And of course, you know, you might have heard things like about E numbers. There are common, there's a lot of research around food colors and how that can be linked to hyperactivity. A lot of food colors are banned in the UK. On this website that I've linked to you as well for you, it gives a list of the colours and the E numbers for the colours. So that might be a good place to start if you feel that like food is having an impact on your children and their behaviour. The Food Standards Agency have done a lot of research into the links between food colours and hyperactivity in children, and they have found that consuming certain artificial food colours could cause increased hyperactivity in some children. And Smarties are like a prime example here. Like when I was younger, Smarties used to be all kinds of different colours. But because of the Food Standards Agency and the research that they've done, that has been totally removed and you're not able to use those colours. But for those of you in the US, you might still find those kind of colorings and E numbers on your foods, on things that you're buying for children. So that's definitely something to pay attention to and to try and avoid, and just like educate yourself on the basic ones that you're going to come across. Now, number seven, and I think this is like really, really important, is to be mindful of the marketing tactics behind ultra processed food. Now, ultimately, ultra processed food is high calorie, low quality. And what the marketers are trying to do is to create a product that has a big profit margin by advertising it to you and having really low cost, poor ingredients. So they use marketing to get your attention so that you buy that product and you put it in your car and you purchase it and you buy it. And you got to remember the money that goes into marketing these products and the competition that they have to go through to get their place on the shelves in a supermarket is just it's insane. Like the research and the marketing that goes into these products is just massive. So be mindful of that as you're walking down the aisles and you're looking at these products that are saying healthy, low fat, you know, like high protein, like all of those kind of things. You don't want to fall prey to these clever marketing tactics that are designed to deceive you. So things like natural, organic, low fat are very good at creating the illusion that they are something healthy, but they're not always indicative of a nutritious product. So that's where you've got to read the ingredients list and you've got to get the nutrition facts panel out to see if it is the truth because you can't trust them. Now, low fat is a really, really good example because we have been part of this culture, if you're a similar age to me, where, you know, we were kind of like led to believe that all fats are bad for you. So a lot of our marketing will have like low fat because it makes you think that it's going to help you to lose weight. But if a product is marketed as low fat, they're going to have to find a way to make that thing taste good. So instead of being low fat, it's probably going to be high in sugar. So this is why you really need to be mindful of the marketing tactics of the food that you are buying. Now, as we go through the weight loss framework, if you decide to join that program, one of the things we could do is actually go through your cupboards at home. We could look at some of the products that you buy on a regular basis, and we could talk about ways that we could maybe replace some of those with healthier options that are going to help you to lose weight, if that's your goal, but also could be healthier options for your family and making healthier choices as well. So 7 things that I've gone through there, which hopefully will help you to decipher your food labels, to think about the food that you are eating. And if you want me to dig into like any of those particular topics, maybe you want an episode around food additives, or maybe you might like to have an episode around like nutrition facts on a food label, for example, please drop me an email. My email is in the show notes, and let me know because I would be quite happy to put together an episode about those things for you if it would be helpful. So just to sum up this episode, remember these 7 things are going to help you to master the art of reading food labels, and that's going to give you the ability to empower yourself to make healthier food choices, to avoid the pitfalls of ultra processed food, and ultimately to make healthier choices that are going to help you to lose weight, but also are going to be beneficial to your future health as well. Key things to remember are to prioritize whole, nutrient-dense foods, really, really dig into the ingredient list for products that you buy on a regular basis, look for those additives, look for hidden sugars, and just arm yourself with the knowledge to navigate what is a really misleading marketing, like it's a really difficult world to navigate is what I'm trying to say. And honestly, my friend, I promise you, your body is going to thank you for it in the long run. You're going to feel better. Like when you eat good quality nutritious food, you feel better. It gives you the energy that you need to get up and, you know, go and do a workout, to go running around after your kids, to get through a day at work. Nourishing your body is not going to help you feel better now, but it's also going to help you feel better in 10, 20, 30, 40 years time, because it's going to give those your body the fuel and the nutrition that it needs so that you can be around here longer and you can feel the best today and in many, many years' time. So I really hope this episode helped you. We have just scratched the surface of food labels And it is a minefield. It is difficult to navigate. And if you want some help, get yourself on the weight loss framework where you can spend some time one-to-one going through this together, figuring out healthier options for you and your family. And if you would like some extra content around this, then please drop me a message and I will try and put some future episodes together. I hope you found it helpful. Have an amazing day, have an amazing week, and I look forward to connecting with you in the next episode.